ESPN 1400 WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie presents the Laker Hockey Show, live from the Antlers Restaurant on Portage Avenue in Sault, Michigan. The Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400 is brought to you by Farish's, Fingator Cleaners, Century 21, Don Wilson Insurance, Marchetti Distributing, Cooper Dental, Parker Ace Hardware, Sioux Motors, Ramada in Ojibwe, Old Mission Bank, War Memorial Hospital, R&R Marine, Dean Garlinghouse Insurance, and Sioux Builder Supply. Now let's head live to the Antlers and join your host, the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford.
Well, good evening, everybody. We are live at the Antlers here on a Monday evening. Bill Crawford joined by Chris Sable from the Antlers here right off the bat tonight. Damon Witten's here. We'll be talking Laker hockey in just a moment here on our Laker Hockey Show, a weekly presentation brought to you by the Antlers, among others. And Chris Sable joining us here, and I know you've got some things going on. It's our first chance to chat with you this year. We hope we get you in here many times during the course of the season, but what's new with the Antlers?
Well, brunch. We just brought brunch back, and it's actually called Sasquatch Sundays. 2-for-1 Bigfoot Burgers, Sunday brunch. We have a breakfast bar that goes from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and brunch starts from 11 and goes till 2 o'clock, and then we do 2-for-1 seniors in the evening on Sunday as well.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. You got everybody pretty much covered right there. It's something worth looking into from breakfast right through till dinner, and seniors get special treatment. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I just want to thank the Blue Liners and Laker Hockey for coming back this year. Hopefully it'll be an exciting year for Damon and the Lakers and the Blue Liners.
Well, we got a great crowd in here tonight, mostly thanks to the War Memorial Auxiliary, the ladies next door. They've pretty much taken the place over tonight, but that's great, and good to have everybody here. We've got a number of Blue Liners and fans with us tonight, and Chris, we thank you for sitting in here, and we'll remind people about the brunch as we go through the shows this season.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Bill.
All right, Chris Sable joining us here. We'll switch the mic over to Damon Witten now, the head coach of the Lakers. Joining us after last night's difficult loss, lose to the under-18s, the national development team, young men who are mostly 17 years old, but an awful lot of talent there. We saw that as that game went on last night. 2-1, the final score in overtime, and I don't know what you take out of that. You haven't had a chance to coach much. Today's the first day you can actually get out there and do some coaching, but that's the way the NCAA makes it happen, and and it was a tough loss, and yet I thought we probably should have scored about 4 goals in the first period last night.
Yeah, well, and first of all, it feels good to be here. Like you mentioned, Chris and Antlers, thanks for having us, and a great crowd. And yeah, it's nice to be back, isn't it? It feels like it's hockey season, and the show is here, so that's exciting. And like you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of different things that went into it. We talked extensively as a staff. How we wanted to approach it. Were we going to just dress 4 lines and 6D? You know, a couple people asked how the players like it, and honestly, they hate it because they never get in the flow, they never get in the rhythm when you have 5 lines dressed in 7D. So it is tough as much as we talk about being ready for your opportunity. So there's some challenges that way, and certainly you want to win that game, even though it's exhibition. And I think we certainly coach a little bit differently if an NCAA berth is on the line or WCHA championship. So there's definitely some different things you're trying to accomplish, getting some looks at some people in some different situations. You know, our line combinations will be shifted and adjusted a little bit on some things. So overall, it's nice to get that out of the way and underneath your belt so that we can be ready to move on. We talk with our team a lot as well. Like, you wish it was junior hockey or pro hockey. You had 6-8 exhibition games. Really get guys a look. I mean, that's the hard part. There's some kids have worked so hard for an opportunity, and you know, they don't get that 5-6 games to really get a better look. So it's difficult that way. You're picking lineup based on 6 hours of practice. So that's the challenging part, but we like some things about it. And as you mentioned, 5-on-5, we felt like we outgraded them 11-2 in grade A scoring chances. And you know, if we can go through games only giving up 2 5-on-5 grade A scoring chances, we'll be in good shape this year, and we'll spend a lot more time getting our special teams in order.
Yeah, I thought that it was difficult, and I thought you were going to say that too, with 5 lines. You got 15 guys there trying to all play, and you did kind of roll them for the most part other than special teams play. That gets pretty difficult right there. I thought that you looked pretty good, though, on some aspects of special teams last night. We moved the puck very well for a team that hasn't practiced much on it on the power play. I think there's some stick skills in your young guys there. I thought your goaltending was outstanding all night long.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. You're dead on. The goaltending is really shown early on here. You know, Gordy Dayfield is No, we had a great year last year, so it's not surprising, but he's very dialed in. I know he's, you know, really excited for the year and the opportunity ahead of him. And, you know, something else we like is the competition, the spot. You know, Nick Kossoff, I think some people thought it was weird he went in when he did. We didn't want to put – we planned going in to play Nick the third period, and then the situation, we were on the penalty kill. So I don't think you want to throw a freshman goalie on the penalty kill for his first action. So we waited a few minutes to get through that. But Nick's been very good. You know, I thought blue-white game, he was outstanding. Last night I thought he was very good. You know, a very difficult bounce on the winning goal in overtime, but nothing his fault. And the first power play goal he had absolutely no chance on. So Nick's going to be able to take pressure off Gordy this year. It's something we probably didn't feel like we had last year, and that's a healthy thing to have for our program. And, you know, the power play, like you mentioned, I think we graded ourselves about four grade A's on it, and they were all early on. We kind of got a little stagnant later on, and you know, the young guys on there are probably a little bit too cute right now, trying to make a skill fancy play. If you watch that the USA team yesterday, they basically wristed everything through, had a net front presence, and whacked away. And we got to simplify it a little bit, and we'll get that with some more reps and some more time spent on it.
Yeah, I think puck movement was okay last night in that game. I think the speed was good. It's obvious that your returning players are in better physical shape than they were last year at this point, and the young guys look good. I can't think of too many freshmen who really didn't do a good job last night for the most part. Maybe some defensive lapses, but moving the puck and getting it through the neutral zone, they did a good job.
And you know what? An area of emphasis is breaking out of our zone cleanly without any turnovers, and then limiting danger zone turnovers. I wasn't happy with our defense the blue-white game. But then, you know, they played every other shift, you know, so they don't get a breather. They don't get a rest. You're asking a lot of those guys. We're asking them to play up tempo, to get in the rush. So, you know, I wanted to be careful with that evaluation of the blue-white game. And fortunately, we turned around the next night, and I thought they were very good. Their urgency was good. Breakouts were very good. So I thought a lot of strong areas overall. Again, you know, to give up two grade A chances, 5-on-5, you know, if we can be anywhere close to that, we'll be extremely happy as a staff defensively. And they were good. And then the young guys you mentioned, I think obviously, I think a lot of people, Gage Terrell is really shown early on here. He's got a very... very skilled to him. He can make plays. He can score a little bit. He's a very, very good skater, and you notice that. So I think Gage has certainly, you know, been noticeable along with Nick Kossoff back there as guys who've stood out. But the other guys, like you mentioned, have done well and done a lot of good things, and we're looking forward to them continue to develop.
Now you got more tough decisions to make this week. You had a little bit of a practice session today. You'll have one tomorrow, and then Wednesday, and Wednesday afternoon you head down to Detroit to get ready to go out to Maine on Thursday morning. You're going to have to decide what 22 guys are going, and that's not going to be easy right now. You sat out some pretty good players from last year in that game last night to look at other players, and it'll be a team decision, I know, with the staff, but it won't be easy.
No, it won't. You know, and part of that, you know, Matt Johnson's a guy you didn't see play. Matt missed 2 or 3 days of practice with an illness. And so Johnny, you know, he just missed practices late in the week. We didn't think it was probably, you know, the right way to do it to put him in. But he's certainly in the mix. A lot of us know what he can do. He's a good skater. He's a competitor, and he's a physical player. Playing against a team like North Dakota, you certainly need that in the lineup. So Matt Johnson was out due to that. Scott Patterson's an interesting story, too. You know, he was... physically just not prepared totally last year, no fault of his own, just some physical maturity and understanding what the level takes. He had a phenomenal summer off the ice and just looks like a totally different player. And then when he, you know, about 7-8 days ago, he missed about 4 days in a row with the same illness. And but Scott got back a little bit before Matt to get a spot in the lineup, and obviously scored a goal in blue-white game, scored a goal last night. So, you know, Scott Patterson's going to be interesting to watch going forward as he can move. You know, and then we also, with the flight, got to get some names into the airlines, and we spent a lot of time as a staff trying to figure out who's going to travel. And, you know, there's going to be one or two guys and more guys really behind that, you know, probably deserve to be in, but there's some difficult choices. And, you know, and that's where you want to be. You know, you want to be there. And I think, you know, there's one or two guys that I thought Sunday really had a difficult game. And last year, I'm not sure that we could have taken him out. But this year, you know, he might be out of the lineup and not even traveling. So the depth has improved, and that's a really good thing for our team.
Yeah, I agree. I think things are looking up there. It's a tough one to lose in overtime 2-1, but that's a pretty good young team. And they got spanked there 4-0 at Northern on Saturday night, and their proud crew, they wanted to bounce back. And their coach was very, very happy after the game. He thought they – had times on Saturday when they played better than they did last night, and yet they persevered last night and wound up getting the win. You'd have thought they won the Stanley Cup when the game ended.
Yeah, they were pretty excited.
They were
that.
Well, it's a D1 victory for them, and for a bunch of 17-year-olds, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and they'll have plenty more. I think last year they had 4 or 5 wins over programs, and they'll do that. You know, talking to Danton a little bit, like he said, he thought, you know, their Saturday night game was very different, where, you know, I think going in the second period, shots were 14-2. They really hadn't had a sniff of anything, and then we'd done a great job 5-on-5. And then 13 seconds in the second period, we took a penalty. We killed that off. About a minute later, we took a second penalty, and there you are, 4 of the first 5 or 6 minutes, you're shorthanded. And then you saw them get a little bit of confidence, a little bit of momentum off of that. And again, you know, another area we want to be good on is being a disciplined team. And, you know, part of what we talk about is not taking back-to-back penalties for that exact reason. We controlled everything in that game. That first period was very, you know, very strong performance. And then you get in the penalties and the special teams and things, they start to crawl back a little bit.
Yeah, I thought it was tough, too. Some of the penalties, there were some ticky-tacky things in there. A couple of them were very well-deserved. And that's discipline. That's stuff you work on and you show them film and you talk to them about it. That's all part of the coaching. That's the big problem right now, is that there hasn't been a whole lot of coaching to this point. You guys got to get it going this week, I guess, and it's going to be tough to go to Maine and play two quality programs, especially North Dakota on Friday. And we should remind folks, we play at 4:30 both days, Friday and Saturday. We're the first game both days out at the Icebreaker Tournament. But it's going to be a few weeks here before we can really get things going with all these young people and get some coaching done.
Well, yeah, you know, that's part of it. I mean, you want to continue to build and get better and better, you know, so that's certainly a process to that part of it. And, you know, having so many young guys and new guys in the lineup, it is, you know, I like you said, you didn't love some of the calls, but it was good for us. We needed the special team reps. And again, you know, we're probably using some guys that we really want to get a look at to see if they can hold on to those roles and make something happen. So, you know, we would have coached a little bit differently if we're looking for a playoff spot or NCAA tournament. But we wanted to get some kinks worked out and some players through there. And I think we accomplished that for the most part.
What kind of things did you work on today now coming off a weekend?
Well, and that's a good question. You know, typical college week is Friday, Saturday, and this obviously was Saturday, Sunday due to the NCAA start date. So we've been on the ice all week long. So we actually did a split group practice. We just no real rhyme or reason to who went out in their groups, but we wanted to get in. The majority of our time has been spent in our defensive structure, just, you know, so you can hit the ground running and be solid that way. So we did split groups with an emphasis on the offensive side of the puck. The group who wasn't on the ice, we showed clips from Sunday's game, again, emphasizing the offensive side of the game. Out on the ice, they did some entry stuff and trying to drill in some habits, playing in the paint, stopping in the paint, playing the game the right way. So we did a lot of that, and then also getting to the net and finding those second chance pucks, which is something, you know, we struggled with last year, and we really want to make sure we're doing a better job with this year.
You know, you mentioned Scott Patterson a few moments ago. He's got a couple of goals early in a couple of games, and he has looked good. He's done a good job for you. I think Al Globke's played really well too, though. I thought he was outstanding in the blue gold game, and he was very good last night. He gets chances. He had you know, 4 or 5 chances in that blue gold scrimmage game, and last night 2 or 3 more really good scoring chances, just getting in the right place. I think he's in better physical shape than he was last year.
Well, he is, you know, and he was having a good summer. Al, you know, Al's a phenomenal kid, and he had a mission trip to Haiti this summer where he got really sick on late in the summer. So, you know, he lost some of the things that he had done, but through that, you know, he has reshaped his body. He's coming in great shape. He's been, you know, probably our best player early on. You mentioned the blue-white game last night. I think we had him credited for 5 grade-A chances. You know, part of that, he's done a great job, but that line with him and with Kuglietta and Terrell was really dynamite all night long. So don't be surprised to see that line kind of hang together here for a little bit, and hopefully they can get a couple by the board. But we need Al going. You know, we need him back to that freshman form, and, you know, we're hopefully going to be able to find the right guys to play with and put him in situations to return to that form.
Does it help at this point that, and obviously it does, but 7 non-conference games before Huntsville comes in here early in November, that's a good way to start it. It beats last year where you play Michigan Tech right out of the gate.
Yeah, I know it is. I mean, and again, we're still young. We're going to play 5-6 freshmen every night for sure, and probably upwards of 7 and 8 with Hedrick and McArdle in that mix as well. You know, and you got the young sophomores, going to sophomores. So I think it's good. We need that. You know, I'm sure we'll also use part of it to get some other guys some looks, guys who have earned it and had a good summer and tested well. So it'll be good for us, and I think hitting the road early on will be nice to kind of get away from things and bond a little bit and have a good road trip. And, you know, the goal is to come back with a championship. You know, not easy with a team like North Dakota on Friday night, but that's the goal. You only have so many chances to win a championship in college hockey, and this is one of them. So, you know, we're going to go out there and try to get it done.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be a good tournament. North Dakota against the Lakers early game on Friday, and then it'll be Michigan State, Maine in the second game, and then they go the next day. It's Michigan State, Lake Superior in the early game, and North Dakota, Maine in the nightcap. And that's all in Portland, Maine. It's not where Maine generally plays, over in Orono. It's down south, and it'll be interesting to play in Portland. I don't think we've been there before.
Yeah, no, a good pro rink and pro environment. Coach Holloway has been there plenty of times with Bridgeport, so he's got a little lay of the land. We've relied on him a little bit for some of our arrangements getting there, but you know, it's good. It's all contained. You know, we're just a block or two from the rink to the hotel, and so it's a fun trip, a good business trip for our guys to get out there and see some great hockey. You know, one of the nice things is after that early game, you know, we'll do some type of a meal, then watch the late game, and you can really use it to teach your kids to see some of the positive and negatives of how you have to play in order to improve and compete for championships.
All righty, we're going to take a break here on the Laker Hockey Show, our first break for the night. We'll be back. We'll hear some, we got some questions here from our fans who are with us at the Antlers. And we'll be right back after this on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back live at the Antlers. The return didn't come through there. I'm waiting for the return, and there wasn't one, but that's just a problem we've got back at the radio station. We'll take care of that. We've got some questions from fans who are here tonight, a couple of them, and one of them we've kind of already hit on, but let's ask it anyway. Were you pleased with the goaltending of Nick Kossoff on the weekend? He played in both games. We're talking Blue Gold on Saturday afternoon and then the game last night against the under-18s.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I can't remember what color was which for Nick, but the blue-white game, you know, I think that first 10-15 minutes especially, that their team was absolutely you know, up against it. And if Nick didn't make 3, 4, 5 quality saves, you know, they would have been up big. So I thought Nick was very, very good that game. And then last night, like I said, the first goal, he had absolutely no chance. The second one is a really tough break on a young kid that it banks in, and you know, from below the goal line, and you know, a little bit of a learning curve there. But you know, Nick probably you know, last year we thought Nick was certainly you know, an elite goalie for us to recruit him and bring him in. He ended up splitting starts with a 20-year-old on his team, which, you know, we weren't happy with, but obviously these junior coaches have to run their teams as they see fit, and you know, they're worried about winning games and team chemistry, all those items. So you know, he didn't play probably as much as he can. It might have been you know, healthy for Nick to have another year of junior hockey where he was the guy and played, you know, 50, 60 games and had a run. But, you know, we thought he was ready. We thought he had a very good year. Certainly we were a little bit disappointed that he wasn't used more, but again, we don't control that. There's a lot of pro guys that felt the same way. They wanted to see him in some situations and did see him in those situations. And so we like him. We think we're, especially for the style we play and what we do, we think he's got a chance to be very good. And I thought he showed that. I think he's been ahead of where we thought he'd be based on him not starting as many games as we thought he might last year.
And speaking of pro guys, you couldn't swing the proverbial dead cat in the building last night without hitting a pro scout. There were, you know, there wasn't a tremendously big crowd, but there were a dozen scouts in the building. Obviously, they're looking at the under-18s, but they're looking at your free agents and your young guys too.
Yeah, they are, for sure. I mean, and you know, the majority of those guys we have pretty good relationships with. You know, they'll touch base before they get up, and you know, we use them. You know, that relationship is important. They're out watching different junior leagues and uncommitted players, so you know, we're always texting these guys, who do you like on this team, or how was this guy this night? And you know, some you know better than others and have more trust with, but a couple of the guys are real good friends of our staff, and it's nice to have them in your building. You know, it's important for your guys as well. And like you mentioned, they're kind of, you know, they're there to watch those draft eligibles in their first weekend against college competition. But after the game, they're certainly picking your brain. And they've been tracking our guys for a few years. They know them. And they were excited to see some of our guys in their first college action as well, along with some of our returning guys that, that have had interest, you know. And so it's a good situation. We want those guys in our buildings. You know, you always want to retain your guys. But, you know, we hope we have guys who are ready to leave early. And if they're ready, they get 10, 12 good offers, and then we'll drive them to the airport and help them sign and wish them well.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. They're here to get a degree, but if they're a good enough player to play pro, they're here to do that too. It's Division One college hockey, and it's got its own little goals from within too. Considering what you've seen from this team, how do you feel about the media preseason, or the coaches' polls for that matter, in the WCHA? They picked the Lakers second last in one poll and dead last in the other one.
Well, certainly, you know, first of all, you know, it doesn't matter much. I told our guys, I don't care what people around the country, whether it's a reporter or the coaches in our league, you know, we don't put too much stock in it. It's going to be with the guys in our locker room, you know, how we handle it and what we do. Do I think we can exceed those? Absolutely. I mean, that's our goal. You know, you want to have realistic goals, but lofty goals. And, you know, our guys have set a goal for home ice in the playoffs. And that's obviously a big jump from where we were last year, but that's the goal. You know, we've got to be, you know, very, very good. We have to improve quickly, and our young guys have to acclimate. But that's the goal moving forward, and it's lofty for sure. But that's something we think, you know, if a lot of things come together, we can get that done. So we don't put much stock into them, and we'll prove a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, I think probably when you got a young team like this, it's better to be picked way down. You know, what the heck? Who cares? That's something you can put on the board and tell the boys, let's overcome all this and do much better than anybody thinks we can do. What the game's all about sometimes. But I don't think it's bad to be picked down. It's better than being picked at the top. Right now, how do you think Minnesota State Mankato's feeling today? They got beat 3-2 by Alberta yesterday on their own ice. So, you know, they're not happy either.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You look around scores. I think there's about 5-6 teams that lost games, and you know, the Canadian universities, and you know, it's just part of it, where you're at in your program. But Mankato, that'd be the last team you think would probably get knocked off. And, you know, they have their own questions and some things they're overcoming and coming back from. But there's a lot of hockey to be played, and it's not where you're at in October. It's where you're at in March. So that's our goal, is to get better day in and day out. You know, it was so nice as coaches today to have time with the kids. Like, you know, just to be able to be down there early, to be on the ice before, after. And, you know, we stayed out and did skill work with you know, 10, 12 kids. So it's so refreshing to be coaching now. And some of the other stuff you kind of put on the back burner, and, you know, you take a breath when you get a bye week and catch up. But it's the fun part right now. You know, you really get to know these kids and get to work with them.
Yeah, because there are a lot of new guys here, and just because you recruited them and saw them play junior doesn't mean that you're all that familiar with how they play. We've seen them in a couple of games now, and you get out there. I think they work really hard. I've been impressed. I've been to enough practices so far this season. I think that the tempo is very, very good. I love some of the stuff. In fact, maybe that's where some of the penalties came from. We've got some high intensity practice things going on, where there's a lot of whacking and hacking going on, and guys are fighting each other, and that's good. That's what you want at this point. What would you say is the priority thing right now to get done practices to make this team better?
Well, I think there's many. I don't think you can point to one area, Bill. We obviously spend a lot of time. You know, you go up into my office in particular, I've got probably 6 to 8 years of practice plans, you know, saved everything we did every day the last 6 to 8 years, the lines we used, obviously only 2 of those years or the last year here at Lake State. But, you know, I can go back 8 years and tell you what we did on, you know, October 5th, just in that point of the season. So there's a plan in place. There's not one area. You know, like I mentioned, today was an offensive emphasis day. Tomorrow is going to be more of a defensive emphasis day. It's more of your grinding day, your attention to detail. You know, Wednesday is always a little tricky because it's a travel day, so you never know how dialed in your kids are. So it'll be their job and our job to get them dialed in to have an accomplished day. But there's been a lot of hockey early on, even though we haven't been allowed with this long week and then the trip out. So we're trying to stay a little bit shorter than we would typically this time of year. When we get back from Portland, you know, we got the short week once again, and then we'll get kind of on our normal schedule after that Michigan State weekend. But no one area. It's just staying with our plan of hitting our different areas each day. I think after we watch some film, we might say, hey, you know, our D-zone coverage has been really good. Our rush D needs a little bit more work, so we'll spend a little bit more time in some of those areas. Special teams are almost every day. We're always hitting those areas almost every day.
Yeah, special teams require a lot of time and effort, but I see some skill out there early this season, both in the scrimmage on Saturday and the game last night. I think that's going to come around.
Well, we had some good looks. We had some good looks. Like I said, first period, I think we had three great A's, you know, maybe with a little bit better screen or a little bit better bounce or puck luck. You know, you get one of those. You know, Anthony Nellis absolutely got robbed. They had a great play. Yeah. I think it was, I believe, Gage walking up. A little bit of a pick play, went down to Nellis for a one-timer. Had he gotten up, it would have beat him, but I thought their goaltender made a tremendous save. There's a little room five hole, there's a room short side high, and, you know, Nellis is a shooter. He can score goals. You look at his track record. So, you know, he learned his lesson, and that's the adjustment coming from junior hockey. Junior hockey, it's probably a goal, but, you know, these guys are more skilled at this level and ready and make better reads. So next time he knows he has to elevate that puck to score, and hopefully he can make the adjustment. But, yeah, there's pieces there. There's pieces there. We got to get summer hockey out of our system. Now it's meat and potatoes. You know, you drive pucks to the net, you get traffic there, and simplify a little bit there.
Yeah, there is a little problem here, too, with these exhibition games and these games that are non-conference early. There's some weird stuff in the schedule there. Where, like, for instance, we're going to go out to Maine this week and play two afternoon games, which is different for us time on the time end of things. And then next week we have a home-and-home with Northern Michigan, and it's not very far apart, granted, but it's Great Lakes State weekend, and there are a lot of things going on next Saturday or a week from Saturday that'll be, you know, a little distracting. And then you go down to Michigan State, and you're going to play Thursday, Friday because of football on Saturday. So by the time we get back to play Huntsville and get into the swing of it, we'll be back Friday, Saturday the rest of the year.
Right, and that, you know, that's kind of our comfort zone. And but we told our guys, you know, it's good. You know, you never know. On the way to Northern Michigan, the bus breaks down. You get to the rink at 6:40, and hey, it's game on. You got to be ready to play. So I think some of those changes and the different things are really good for us early on. But I think as a coach, you miss some of that routine. And as a players, especially with so many young guys, you know, they're still kind of deer in the headlights. What's going on, and what's this day to day thing look like? You know, it's funny, if you talk to them or have some time with them, if you ask a freshman about the first 3 weeks, they're probably like, you know, painful. They hated it because they just want to be on the ice practicing. You know, obviously it's great to get caught up in school and get ahead, and they can do a good job that way, but they want to be going. They want coaches, they want structure, and so it's really a difficult thing to juggle. And so, you know, after Michigan State, it'll be nice to get in that structured routine and, you know, get through some of this preseason and these different scheduling quirks.
Okay, we're going to talk about some of the staff changes we've had and some of the newcomers on this hockey team in the second half of the show tonight. We're going to take a break right now, though. We got to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Laker Hockey Show at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Our first show from the Antlers this year. We did our first show of the season last week at the CC Hall for the spaghetti dinner and United Way. That's an annual event. That went pretty well, and the show was a resounding success that night. And we'll appreciate being back here at the Antlers. We love coming here, especially when it's still light outside, as it is in the fall. But let's talk a little bit about some of the changes you got on your staff now. You mentioned Doug Holliva a few moments ago. Let's tell everybody about him and what he brings to the table. He's certainly got some intensity going, and he's a guy who comes to us from pro hockey, the pro hockey ranks.
Yeah, and before I forget, with the fall weather and the light, you know, a couple of great events with Parents Weekend coming up in a couple of weeks, Pink in the Rink, you know, you mentioned Great Lakes State Weekend. So it's a great month for our, you know, the university and the program. You know, anybody looking to help with Pink in the Rink or any other items, you know, certainly welcome to reach out. They're still looking for donations, volunteers, and then lots of things falling this year with the Halloween night and trick-or-treat. So it should be a great event. Coach Holloway has been good. You mentioned his intensity, you know, a little bit of a different, unique background. You know, one of the things through the process that stood out was, you know, he was at a point of his life, he was coaching hockey and did some different things in school. And, you know, he just said he wanted to test himself as a man and see how tough he was, you know, and the Marines kind of called him. And, you know, I think that's a great mindset for athletics. You know, how tough are you? How much of a man can you be in those settings? You know, how hard can you push yourself? And so to me, that was a little piece of what he is. And, you know, he's a bit of a machine. You know, he's a worker. You know, he's been really good that way. Very organized. You know, video skills are great. And another thing that you like, these guys, pro hockey, there's no no recruiting in some regards. There's no rules and all this. So it's almost, you know, 100% hockey. So you talk about any system, any tweak, any adjustment, and, you know, he's done it for at least one weekend in some random town somewhere, USA. And so he's just a junkie. You know, he's been very good that way. And similar to last year, we've got a similar setup where he'll handle the defensive side of the puck in areas, and Coach Mitra will continue to the offensive side of the puck. And it's been healthy. It's been a good situation so far. And, you know, we're still getting to learn each other a little bit. I feel bad. You know, he's only been here a few weeks. He's still trying to learn our players. And, you know, he knows them off the ice a little bit. They get on, put the helmet on. He can't tell who they are. And so he doesn't have as much input as he'd like to right now in terms of some of our lineup and our personnel, just because he still doesn't have a great, great feel. But it does. It takes time to come in and learn 28, 29 guys in the short window. Especially with our limited time.
And he's a young guy. He's got his wife is joining him here, and he's got a young son. They just bought a house in Sault Ste. Marie. He's pretty excited about that. He talked about that the other night on air during the game. And, you know, you settle into that sort of thing. And I think he's going to be great. I love his intensity. I like how he's very, as you just said, very well organized. He's very serious about what he's doing, too. He's kind of the opposite of Rich Mitro, who's, you know, Rich is knows exactly what he's doing, but he's got that personality that is a little bit more, let's have a good time while we're doing this.
Yeah, they really do. They have a good balance. And I think Rich is looking for a little more life and energy in the office. You know, I think, you know, like you said, he's louder, he's vocal, he has a good time. And so anybody needs to stop in and then give Rich a hello, you know, feel free. He's looking for that. But they balance each other well. You know, like you said, Rich walks into a room and he can know everybody and work the room. And so they bring a different kind of approach. They both are good relationship guys in the recruiting process. So it's been healthy. And, you know, we like our mix quite a bit. You know, both them come from coaching pro hockey. And I think with Doug in the American League and the Islanders organization, I think the guys are all right now very in tune to know that he's a development guy. He's helped guys reach the highest level. So he really has their ear right now. And I think with the job he'll do is a thoroughness and attention to detail. He'll keep their ear and do a good job.
Yeah, I think so too. It's kind of exciting to watch how they get things done. Another thing, we lost Matt McKelvey over the summer. He left to go to the University of Maryland as an athletic trainer. And we've got a new trainer coming in, a new athletic trainer. And it's going to be a little bit different there, too. But this is a young lady who went to school at Northern Michigan, and she loves the UP. She's excited about coming here and working with a hockey team.
Yeah, she feels like it's home in the UP, and I think all of us who live here know how special it is. So, you know, that's exciting. She's still finishing up her contract, so she's another, I think, 8 days away from joining us. But we're excited to welcome Nikki Mackey to the program, and, you know, can't wait for her to get here. Nico Talentino has been filling in for her in the meantime and done an awesome job. You know, yeah. Nico's going off to, I believe, grad school, but Nico's done a really good job too. You know, the other guy we haven't talked much about is Tyler Dolbretz, our strength conditioning coach. You know, we're 1-1 versus Chicago pro teams because we lost Pete Aubrey to the Chicago Blackhawks. Coach Dolbretz had a job, a position lined up with the Chicago Bulls. Something kind of fell through late. We jumped on him. He was all in, and then the Bulls called last minute, said, "Hey, wait a second, we want you back." But, you know, credit to him. He stuck with his word. He came up here. He's doing an unbelievable job for us. I know the basketball teams have really enjoyed him too. But he's working our guys out in the mornings, AM in two groups. He had them preseasoned. And, you know, you walk around, you look at our guys, we look like hockey players, and that's a good thing. And so he's done a good job. And same thing, they've got a lot of respect for him. And, you know, I think when you say, hey, I could have gone with the Bulls, but I'm here, it says a lot about his commitment. And we'll hope we'll have him for a long time and you know, really dig in with him.
Yeah, he's great too. He fits right in with the staff. He was up in the press box during the game yesterday. We had him doing some statistical work up there, and he's watching what's happening, and he's paying attention.
Yeah, no, he is. He doesn't have a huge hockey background. He spent some time at the University of Madison working with their hockey program there. So, you know, he's worked with guys, but his background's more of a football track athlete personally. For all those who want to know how crazy you know, I am and hockey coaches are, he actually lived with us for, I don't know, 10, 12 days because he came up last minute. About two or three nights once he got here, I had to go off recruiting. So my poor wife, you know, bless her soul, she just kind of sucked it up and said, okay, this strange man can live in my house for a little bit. So, Ange, if you're listening, we appreciate it because without that, we might not have Tyler. So appreciate her support and for Tyler coming up. And, you know, really, he was blind. He didn't know much about us. So we got a little bit of a family connection. But, you know, he was really excited to have a chance to kind of lead this program and work with the Division I hockey program. And he's been great. So, you know, those of you who see him around, grab him and talk to him for a couple of minutes. His passion for his craft and strength and conditioning is outstanding.
Yeah, and fits right in, does a good job. This is kind of exciting to see all this stuff coming back together here. And, you know, as much as we'll miss a guy like Matt McKelvey, who was a pretty good trainer for us last couple of years. We're going to continue to move ahead here. And another guy who's back is Terry Barbel.
Yeah.
Great goaltending coach. I laughed last night after the game. Pat O'Neill says, we don't need a goalie coach. Our goaltending's fine. We need a scoring coach.
Well, we could do that too. You know, we'll get Rico back. If we could, we'd use that as well. And it's actually funny. You know, Pete Aubrey, we've talked to Pete plenty lately. But one of his, I think a name everybody would know involved with the Chicago Blackhawks now, you know, they're working about trying to come up and work with some of our guys and just do a couple things, you know, one of their pro development guys. So that'd be something, you know, would be great for our guys. Again, a very well-known name. So we're kind of working on some details there. But, you know, we're getting there, and we'll work with our guys and work on the skill development, and it'll come. You know, we're making some steps, and I like where we're headed and where we're going. Let's not forget Ned Zimmer.
Yep.
Ned's back with us doing our director of hockey ops. And
a worker.
He, you know what? Ned's done a great job. And, you know, last year was a big learning curve for Ned. And, you know, he's really on it this year. So we would thank Ned for all his work.
Yeah, I laughed today. Ned's a guy who says he's kind of like the traveling secretary. He's the guy who's got to make sure we got hotel rooms and everybody's got rooms and we got flights and we got this. And today he was working with Nico because I guess that was just decided that maybe yesterday or something that Nico's got to go. We got to have an ATC with us, and there's got to be somebody qualified. And so they were trying to work out getting Nico onto that flight that's going to leave on Thursday out of Detroit. So,
yeah, that's some of his most important. Like that, the organization of that's important. But I'm sitting here, you know, we're all over him. Hey, Ned, we need this video. Yeah. We need this cut. We need this pre-scout done. And so it's a very demanding spot with a ton of hours. And you know, anybody who has ever done that op, I don't know how an NHL guy could do it. I mean, I don't think he could be married and have a family. But Ned works and grinds and has done a very good job for us this year, and especially he's really come in focused. And you know, we're doing a lot more now that we're year two. Our stats, we went up with our guys today. We grade every player in every game. We put up scoring chances for and against. And Ned's done a really good job of getting that going for us this year, along with a lot of other duties.
Yeah, and it's good to have a guy like Terry Barbel back. He does such a good job. And the players, I think Gordy and Nick and Aaron, they like him. They think he demonstrates that he knows what he's talking about.
Well, his track record, you know, you can't question it. So he's been around a long time. He's worked with great goaltenders. He's great to have back. You know, it's nice, too. You know, I've been with some other guys in different areas, and Pete's probably a little bit missed where they're a little bit younger guys. You know, Terry's not overly, like, stop the puck. Like, you know, honestly, what's so difficult? Stop the puck. You know, forget about overcoaching and this technical this or that. It's about stopping the puck. So there's a different philosophy, and I think it comes because he's a little bit older. He's been around longer. He's seen a lot more. He knows ultimately, you know, I don't care necessarily about hand placement and then the load position, like stop the puck, stop the ones you're supposed to stop, and you know, take your chances with your other ones. So Terry gets that. He's a little bit more laid back in his approach, and their relationship's still developing, but our guys are happy, and I think you see it's been really healthy for our players. Just like we are, he's licking his chops now. Our hours loosen up, so he'll be able to be more involved just like we are. You know, his first couple of weeks he can only have two shooters with them and two goalies, and allowed with four guys on the ice. Now he's going to have six shooters, the two goalies, and you know, he's really going to lay it on now, so it'll be really good. So we're really excited to have Terry back.
Yeah, he does a great job. Let's talk a little bit about another coaching aspect, and I know all the coaches are into this now. I can remember when Roger Nielsen got it started. Frank Anzalone was very big on this back in the 80s. It did it the hard way by sitting there with various video pieces of equipment. But boy, video and filming and all the different things we've got now, the programs you've got to do it, what a teaching tool.
Well, it's tremendous, you know. And another thing, Ned, our countable hours, you know, obviously within the NCAA rules, Ned taped all of our preseason practices where we were allowed on the ice per NCAA rules. And so it's great. You're working on a new neutral zone, and the next day you bring in the clips from practice, and you know, you can't get a better teaching tool. Same thing, all our stuff. So Ned's been busy filming all the practices we're allowed to film, and that's been a huge help. But, you know, like you said, it's really never ending. I mean, You know, again, a hockey wife's not easy, you know, and but every night we're on the laptop to probably midnight. You know, last night's a Sunday, a little bit non-traditional week, but Rich said he was on his laptop to about 12:30 breaking down our film. You know, if you're not breaking down film on your own team, you're pre-scouting North Dakota or Michigan State, or you're watching recruits. I mean, it's crazy, you know. You're just totally addicted to the game, and, you know, so our wives and our kids put up with a lot, but we're blessed to do it, and we love what we do. You know, you have to have that passion because it's never-ending.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting last night, too. I know Danton Cole pretty well. He played at Michigan State. You played at Michigan State. He's coaching the under-18s. You're here. Last night he had Chris Luongo working with him, who's an MSU grad, and Tyler Walsh. It's like an MSU homecoming there last night. And Danton Cole's a great guy. He's a really good coach. I'm stunned he's not coaching, you know, some college team somewhere. But he works with those under-18s and then the under-17s and switches it back and forth. And he's done a good job.
Yeah, he has. And then, you know, there was a lot of green and white guys around, which I think I earned. I spent those few years at Michigan Tech with Mel Pearson, Billy McCall, Steve Shields, and that got old.
A lot of blue and gold.
Yeah, you know, I'm blue and gold, but a different blue and gold, the Sault Ste. Marie blue and gold. So, but, no, they're good guys, and like you mentioned, I'm sure Danton's had some opportunities to move on, and, you know, he bounced around a lot a few years back with some young kids, so I think they're pretty settled kid-wise there for a little bit. And, you know, it's certainly a different feel because you're not competing for much with that team until some of those international events, but certainly working with those kids has got to be fun to deal with the top American kids.
A lot of talent there, and yet they're really young kids. And you could see that post-game last night. They had some chants going, and they were just whooping it up in that dressing room. And their staff thought it was pretty humorous, too. We're going to take our break here, our third break in the program tonight. When we come back, we'll talk about this coming weekend a little bit, about North Dakota and Michigan State. We'll be right back on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Antlers, our final segment of the show tonight, our second program of the season. We want to remind everybody, too, we've talked about this a couple of times. We do have another Laker hockey show. It's called Laker Hockey Talk. It's a 20-minute program. It's going to be right here on ESPN Radio starting this Wednesday morning at 8:30. And, Damon, that was kind of your idea. You wanted to have a talk show where we talk Laker hockey that's in the morning drive area rather than the evening. So we've got this show at 6 on Monday nights, and now we're going to have a new one that'll be on at 8:30 in the morning out of studio on Wednesday morning starting 2 days from now.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously we'll touch now on the upcoming weekend, but, you know, I think when you get into that Wednesday, we're a little bit more prepared. You know, today's more of a wrap-up day on the weekend. You know, the assistants are working on the pre-scouts for the upcoming opponents, but I think there it's a real good time to look forward of what's coming up that weekend, and also, you know, for home games, certainly some of the exciting events going on around Laker hockey.
Well, we'll be getting that going again Wednesday morning on ESPN 1400. Let's talk a little bit about this weekend. We're going to fly out to Maine. We got a lot of freshmen on this team who will probably make this trip. It'll be their first chance to acclimate to the D1 game in a real serious venue. We'll be playing in a pro building in Portland, Maine, and we'll take on a very good team on Friday afternoon at 4:30. That'll be a good test for the young guys.
Well, it's a huge test. You know, that D-core is... You know, there's some teams in our league and around the country that have good D, but that D core, I mean, you look at where they're drafted and where they came from, it's as good as there is in the country, and you know, probably hands down the best D core in the country. And not only do they defend well, I mean, they're extremely dangerous from the offensive blue line. So we've got to be ready. And, you know, when we're in our D zone, we get the puck. We got to be sure that puck clears and gets out, and you can't give them any extra looks or chances. So it's a huge test. You know, now they're breaking in a new goaltender, so, you know, there's some inexperience there. Their forward group's pretty good. I just read, I think today, that they lost one of their, I believe, their senior forwards for the season. So, you know, the D-core is certainly what their strength is, but that's not to say they don't have, you know, a really strong forward group and some high-end skill, because it's North Dakota. They always do. So it's a huge test, you know, and we went down there last year and the first night there, and we had a big lead, and you know, we couldn't hold on to it. So we're hoping to get that same start, and this year we're going to learn how to close games out a little bit better and give ourselves a chance to compete for a tournament.
Yeah, I think it was 4-1 at one point in the second period of that game, and then the roof kind of fell in. And, you know, I talked to some of the guys. They're looking forward to playing North Dakota. They want another crack at them and see what they can do. It's early in the season for them too, so it's not like they've been playing together all year. They're same boat we are.
Yeah. Right, and you know, you want to, as a program, you want to play against programs like that. You want to play in pro arenas. You want to play in Yost Ice Arena. You know, you want to put your teams in great environments against great teams to really make you battle tested. It'll pay dividends for us on WCHA play, and you know, as we fight for that home playoff spot, and as we get into playoffs. So it's really something that you want for your team to test yourselves and see where you're at and see where you can ultimately grow this program to be in this team this year.
Yeah, that'll be North Dakota, 4:30 on Friday afternoon. That's Eastern time, of course. We'll have that game for you on YesFM. And then on Saturday, same game time, 4:30 in the afternoon, but it'll be Michigan State. Speaking of the green and white, we'll play the green and white.
Yeah, and a different feel of that game, you know, as experienced and as deep as North Dakota's D-Corps is. You know, Michigan State's got some injury situations. They had a couple early departures. So, you know, they're short on the back end. I guess where they're probably sleeping a little bit easier is they got Jake Hildebrand in net. You know, probably a top five goalie in college hockey. So, you know, they're very strong in net. That's why a point of emphasis this week is getting pucks to the net, traffic to the net. If Jake Hildebrand can see it, he's going to stop it. So we've got to do a better job of, you know, being tough and nasty in that tough area, that grade A area. So that'll be a challenge. And then they've got a couple good forwards too. Mackenzie McEachern returning, Thomas Ebbing, I think it's the Blau up front as well. So they've got some skill up front, and, you know, we're going to do our best to put their D in some tough situations to help us out that night.
We had a few guys that did not dress or play in the game yesterday, and we mentioned already Matty Johnson. He's been sick lately, and I think Jason Bird's had a little bit of a problem too, maybe a groin pull a little bit or something, and he did not dress. Jason Angus and Kyle Chatham. I was kind of surprised. Kyle Chatham played a lot of hockey last year, but numbers game here, and you guys went with you know, other players and used Pete Spratty as a seventh defenseman and gave a lot of people a chance to play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that we wanted to use it to evaluate some different guys, you know, and told the guys today, you know, our stats we do after the game, our strength testing, you know, it's not definitive. You know, you don't say, okay, you're one, you're 20, so 20, you're out. I mean, it's just a piece of what you use to put the things together. So, but there also is an importance to it. You know, where you finish in our strength testing is important. You know, you've got to show a commitment, a dedication to improving and being in, you know, the top part or elevating our whole program. We came back as a whole better, but, you know, if you were privy to the results, you would know that one or two of the guys not in the lineup didn't finish where we'd have liked them to finish. And so that's a small piece of it. And then you put in the limited practice time. So, you know, the competitive part's fine. You know, we talked about our team motto is earn the jersey, and they had a chance to get back at it today. Those guys you mentioned to go out today and earn it back and get on that trip to Portland or, you know, in Northern Michigan in a couple of weeks. So it'll be an ongoing competition and nothing's set. There's guys that, you know, they're going to get their chances. You know, some guys will have to be a little bit more patient than others, but we're looking for the best 20 guys to put on the ice any given night that gives us a chance to be successful.
Well, I think it's working pretty well. I've been really impressed with some of the things that even in the captain's practices, and then you guys were out with them for an hour or so last week, and some really spirited competitions going on. There's one where you move the nets up to the blue lines, and you got two guys out in the middle, then everybody else can get in on the play, and it's just tremendously competitive. A lot of quick passing going on and fast shots. Goaltenders have to pay attention. It's just a great drill.
Yeah, and that was our kind of cap to the preseason. The winner actually came, it was tied up to that a point. So we had a lot of small area games, you know, and that's, you want to get summer hockey done. You got to play in tight areas. You got to be heavy on pucks. And so we try to simulate some of that with our small areas. But it was tied between the blue and the white team. Each team had one win. There was a tie. So it was, I believe, Friday, I think, going into the blue-white game. The winner of that game got to choose which locker room they wanted, which jersey color they wanted to wear. So everything was on the line. And, you know, that's what you're trying to build, that compete level, to lay it out there. And it was, you know, it was very competitive. Guys were mixing up pretty good. I think the day before in the smaller game, we had a semi-fight breakout. Guys got pretty heated. Two seniors, and good for them to bring that. We got it under control. But, you know, it was great. And then, you know, the white team from Saturday's game ended up winning, obviously. At one point, the blue team was up by about four or five goals, maybe six or seven goals. Yeah. Anthony Nellis went in the center circle. I can't remember who was down low with him, but Nellis had about four or five goals along with his teammates in that one. Really tightened it up and tied it up, and then they came back and finished with that momentum.
Well, and just the competition, it's tremendous. And you mentioned there was a little pushing and shoving going on there, a couple punches thrown. I can remember maybe the early 1990s, Lakers had some pretty good hockey teams. That sort of thing would happen a lot in preseason. And Jeff Jackson would take and put everybody in a circle at center ice, put the two combatants on their knees, hands and knees in the middle, face masks on, gloves on. Okay, punch it out till you can't punch anymore. Well, it'd last about 2 minutes, and they'd be just dead.
That's pretty good.
And then everybody just part, and we go back to work. And that's kind of what you did the other day. You didn't do that part of it, but we went back to work, and those guys are competitive people. They know what's going on.
Well, I don't know if you could get away with it in these day and age. There'd be a couple people up with their cell phones taking video, and we'd probably be in big trouble letting them finish it up. But sure, it's part of it. You know, guys are they're fired up, they're emotional, they're competing. You know, we're trying to earn the jersey, and there's some guys that they know they're bubble guys are not quite solidified, and so they're doing everything they can. And you know, the one thing I will say with that, we talk a lot about, you know, you can't take a penalty in practice. So if you're going in, you're competing, you're doing everything you can to score a goal or defend your goal, but you can't take a penalty. And you know, actually in that fight scenario, we thought one guy did take a couple liberties after a whistle, so you know, he had a little extra punishment there, but it happens. And you know, the other guys jumped in, controlled it, and it's good to see that. You want Tuesday and Wednesday of your practice weeks to be much harder than it is Friday. So I expect our guys to work so hard and push each other so hard that we get to Friday night and we get to say, oh man, I don't have to face, you know, Eric Traplick again or Aiden Wright, whoever it is, in that game. That's when you become a great team. When we get to that level, when our practices are that good day in and day out, you know, we'll feel really good about where we're at. And we'll start winning championships again.
Yeah, we used to say, again, those days, and that's going back to championships.
7 o'clock.
You should think the game's easy.
Yep, yeah, exactly. You get out of that
practice
week and you
should
can't
be
wait
the tough
to go
thing.
Play.
All right, well, we're out of time here, and we're going to get off. We really enjoy being here at the Antlers. Want to thank the fans who are with us here tonight. Damon, thank you for being here. Next weekend, we'll be back your way at 6 o'clock on Monday night, and we'll talk at that time about the trip to Maine and what's coming up with Northern Michigan, some Great Lakes State weekend talk as well. Want to remind everybody you can buy tickets online through lssulakers.universitytickets.com. You don't have to wait in line anymore. You can buy them in advance and pick them up at the window at the will call when you come up. That's a new ticket, the wrinkle for us this year with all Laker games. 4:30 games this Friday and Saturday on Yes FM. We'll have both games for you. We'll be on about 4 o'clock with a pregame show. North Dakota Friday, Michigan State on Saturday. Thanks to everybody for being here. Thanks to Frank Blissett for engineering and Carl Mason here at the Antlers with us. Bill Crawford, till next Monday night. So long from the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.